Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola morning. It's a little chilly out today, a little chilly. It's pants and a sweater work, or a hoodie, or, you know, whatever. But it's sunny, it's beautiful, it's Pensacola. It's always still Pensacola, just keep that in mind. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us by phone now. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the kind of the big local event incident story yesterday was a gas leak in which you and Pensacola Fire and Escambia EMS were all involved in making sure people were safe, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty big main that was hit while some construction was going on. And if you're anywhere close down there, you could hear it. It was gas spewing out at a very high rate. We assisted the fire department with evacuations for one block area. We shut traffic off for one block area, and it took them several hours to get it fixed. But fortunately, no injuries and no major damage.
And so what was the level of concern? Because when I think natural gas and a leak, I'm thinking, you know, flame, explosion, that kind of danger. What was the level of concern by, for example, Pensacola Energy and Pensacola Fire that was going to be the outcome? Or was it more just... well, gas isn't great to breathe. Gas is a problem for the locals.
I believe you'd have to ask them that, but from listening to it and seeing it, it was a great concern. Especially you had Wesley Hayden Villa right there, just right on the same corner. So that was the first place we evacuated. And you have to always err on the side of caution. Play it like it could be a major incident. This one certainly could have.
How do you decide in a case like this? Because hazardous materials of all kinds, spills are not that common, but they're not that rare. You know, how do you decide whether to evacuate people? And then, you know, how big of an area? Because, again, just the layman in me speaking is starting to think about, well, gosh, you know, gas is in pipes and pipes travel everywhere. And, you know, if the flame gets inside the pipes, if there happened to be a flame, like that kind of thinking. So how do you make those decisions?
Well, on this particular one, again, it was very easy because of the size and the sound and the velocity that the gas was escaping to make those decisions. But we're not in the gas business. We're always going to err on the side of caution. We're going to act as if it could be a major catastrophe. And then once the professionals get there, the fire department, Pensacola Energy, once they get there and make a determination, then we can start to stand down a little bit.
Good. And, you know, I don't know whether, you know, Chief Craner was on scene yesterday from PFD, but, you know, I know she's the local emergency response coordinator for the city. And so she's super highly, you know, capable about these things. Was she involved in this yesterday? Do you know?
I'm sure. I wasn't down there I didn't see, but yeah, I'm sure. And there was a lot of firefighters down there.
Yeah, and I know the city was really taking coordination ownership of this, so, you know, I got some stuff from the PIO from the city, too. You guys had some burglaries last week, as sometimes happens. You and I talk in the morning, and then that night the criminals think, well, you know, he's not going to be on the radio show for a while. We can do our crimes. I'm sure none of them think that,
yeah.
But what happened on Thursday?
Thursday night was burglary night. We had two burglaries near 9th Avenue and Escalona, also 9th and Fairfield, both involving residences. Both of these residences had cameras. We're always preaching to get those cameras because it sure helps us out, and it did in this case. Suspect was found near there walking and was identified by one of those cameras, or I'm sorry, by both of those cameras at each home, and he was charged accordingly. And then a short time later, there were four females who had broken into the Blue Wahoo Stadium, and once officers arrived and surrounded that area, they were caught coming out near the back of the stadium.
Why did they break into Blue Wahoo Stadium?
Well, that I don't know, but I can tell you that all they got away with was some condiment packages from one of the food stands.
wait a minute. They stole mustard and ketchup packets? What did they steal?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it sounds minor, but it constitutes burglary.
Yeah.
And when you do something like that, you don't think it all the way through. And those are felony charges. As minor as it may seem, once you are somewhere, you're not supposed to be trespassing, and then you take something, now this is burglary, and this is something that the four people are now facing.
Four women broke into the Wahoo Stadium on Thursday night, and their loot was ketchup packets? And now they're facing felony charges.
Sir. Yes.
Okay. There's choices in life. I'm trying to wrap my brain around, like, what were Thelma and Louise thinking at this moment? You know, like the caper is, all right, we're going to get in there and get a ketchup packets. No. Get relish. No. Get mayo. No, it's going to be ketchup. Like, it's just such a, what in the, what? Okay, I have to ask because it's sort of the next, drugs or alcohol were involved?
I don't know that for sure, but usually that happens.
Okay.
You know, people, it's Thursday night. There's lots of young folks downtown, and somebody gets the bright idea, hey, let's go jump the fence at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, take a couple of selfies at home plate, and then get out. But once you take something from there, now things get serious. Even though it's a packet or two of ketchup, things are now serious. So you gotta think these things through, and a lot of times when you're doing things like that, you simply don't think it all the way through.
Okay, I have not been privy to any of the morning meetings before shift at PFD, at Pensacola Police Department, PPD in the last week. I'm just going to go ahead and imagine that occasionally this story came up. This may have been something that y'all talked about a little bit. So, and I won't ask you to comment. You've got a pizza delivery robbery spate going on in a certain part of town, yeah?
Yeah, this happened in the 1300 block of Tony Street Monday night. A pizza delivery driver was robbed, and this is the second time it's happened in that particular area. So we're working on that. And, I was asked a couple of days ago about not only pizza delivery drivers, but cabs and other services where it'd be DoorDash. If they are able to say no, I'm not going to go into certain areas of town. And the answer to that is yes. If a delivery driver for anybody or a cab driver feels that their safety is in danger, they certainly have the right to deny service if that's what they feel like doing.
Wow. Yeah, one or probably one person might get that whole block banned from the pizza places or whatever. Man, I'm sorry. I must have blinked with my ears. Did you say you have somebody or don't have anybody, even a suspect yet?
Nobody in custody yet.
Okay.
Still working on it.
Very good. Okay, I have a... This is kind of comes from a personal experience, but it's also something that I think it might be relevant for a lot of people. You and I talk a lot about, leaving the scene of a crime. When you have an incident, you call the police. You make sure to get a report written for clarity's sake, for law's sake, for, insurance sake. My son got involved in a fender bender, okay? And it was at Walmart, and he got backed into in the parking lot. Parking lots suck. I mean, they're just hard. And the guy, apologized, admitted fault, all fine. And we called for a police officer, and it was really hard to get one because we were told that PPD's policy is they don't come to a parking lot, a private place, except under certain circumstances. And, basically kept asking and eventually got one. And I'm so glad because, Officer Darling was great. She had apparently body cam video, didn't file a written report, but there's a CAD number associated with it. He's told her that he was in the wrong. And thank God, because now 2 months later, he's completely changed his story. Like, he's telling his insurance company that my son was at fault. And we're trying to figure this out. But my question is, I thought you always call a cop from an accident. Why does PPD, is that the policy, and why does PPD have it?
Yeah, that is the policy. It's been that way for a few years now, and a lot of departments have gone to that. Minor damage on private property, accidents, we don't write a report for. Now, if you specifically ask for an officer to come out, and the reason might be the other driver, it looks like he or she could be impaired, or there's arguments going on who's at fault, situations like that, you can certainly call the police, and if you ask for an officer will respond. But minor accidents where there is no controversy going on, they take each other's information, then they can file the report online with the state, or the officer can come give them a form to get that information in. But so we don't usually respond to those calls. However, if you ask for a Pensacola police officer to any location for any reason, you will receive one.
And I'm super glad that we pressed because, it turns out that somebody changed their story, and I'm hoping that the body cam will, vindicate and be enough evidence. But, yeah, I just had always thought, like, from all the years of talking about this and just generally as being alive as an adult, that you always get the cops to any accident because, responsibility, possible law-breaking, anything else. And so I was just surprised to hear that was the policy. Is it a Is it because it's a resource allocation thing, you know, that it's nobody's injured and there's no fighting over it or anything? Is that the source of this originally?
Yeah, it is, partially. But also, you know, because that's going to be low on the priority list, especially
sure.
if we're very busy.
Sure.
You may be there for well over an hour. So you have the opportunity to exchange information, take photos of the damage, and then file this report online. But if there's a, you know, commercial vehicle involved, if there's injuries involved, major damage involved, then we will respond and we will take a report in right. those cases.
I appreciate that. And again, Officer Darling was fantastic when she showed up. Oh, by the way, just total side note, only because it's hilarious and awful. I was driving home, and at the intersection of Creighton and Davis, I was parked there at a red light. This is like a half hour after leaving Walmart, and this lady backed into me with her truck, and her hitch hit my front bumper. Just like,
yeah,
what in the world is happening? And it took like FHP an hour and a half to get there. Oh, she didn't have a license that was current. She didn't have insurance. She fled the scene eventually after giving me the information, and so they're working on that one too. Like, we're apparently, and my wife had had a weird fender bender with somebody else to blame like a couple of weeks prior to that. So it's like, we are the magnets for the bad drivers, apparently. All right. We always like to end with a, and that was not you guys. That was totally FHP and it was in the county anyway, which is appropriate. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
I do. And I was asked recently when I was working an off-duty job how much the gear weighs that an officer has, and I've got an answer for that. When you're talking duty belts, you're talking body armor and other gear, the extra weight.
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to hear this.
Okay, so including, assume the modern TAC vest, the belt, the taser, a gun, ammunition, handcuffs. I mean, it's got to be 15 pounds. What do you got?
It's between 20 and 40 pounds.
Oof.
So you've got to consider the duty belt, depending on the, which is 20 to 30 pounds, depending on the equipment carried.
Yeah.
You've got the body armor. Again, there are several different versions of the body armor
that can weigh
between 4 and 11 pounds. And then you've got the taser, the baton, the pepper spray, the radio, and the body camera. Now, this is just the patrol officer. When you're talking about the officers in full SWAT gear, it's a whole lot more than that. So, it's a lot of weight.
I have always thought that the mere act of getting into and out of your patrol vehicle is a challenge for officers in their full gear. So, wow, 25 to 40 pounds. Wow, that's a lot. All right. Well, I guess you just get used to it, right?
Yeah. You know, ever since we went to the outer body armor, they are able to take that off for a small amount of time and rest in the air conditioning in their cruisers, and they're able to put that right back on, whereas before when it was underneath, they were not able to do that. So things are getting better. They're just not getting a lot lighter.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. At least you can, you know, unzip it and get a little bit of fresh air into your chest or whatever, so that makes sense. All right, Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for helping us understand what's going on in our community, helping keep us safe, and explaining things to our audience. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.